for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, December the 28th, 2018, Randy Ritchie is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Uprooting the Enemy.
Promises of God are yes and amen. Everybody believes that, say amen.
Amen.
For those that don't know me, my name is Randy Ritchie. Certain radio programs go by my full name, King Rand Ritchie. My daddy blessed me. I don't mind my name, it's unique. But my mother didn't like it much, so she said she would let him name me that if they could call me Randy. So that's what I went to Nepal one time, and they got my name wrong on the passport and spelled the last name, not on the passport, but on the plane ticket. And even though we'd given it to the travel agent, it came back and they spelled it R-I-T-C-H-E-Y, and my name is R-I-C-H-E-Y. Which, if your last name's Ritchie, you know, it's, and it don't matter how it's spelled, somebody spells it the other way. So there's different versions of that. And so when I brought that back to the travel agent's attention, they said something to the effect, well, you can not go, or you can purchase another ticket for $4,500 at this last moment, or you can just risk it. And so as we began to pray on that subject, but I went to look, I did a search for my name, my full name, King Rand Ritchie, and there's nobody in the country that has that name. And I thought, well, this would be good if there was a problem. But it's like brothers talking about the goodness of God, and we just decided we're just going to go. And so the trip started in Lubbock, Texas, and in Lubbock, the person at American Airlines looked and said, you know your name spelled wrong? I said, yeah. They said, well, we don't care, but they might. And they pointed to the TSA agent. And when I got to the TSA agent, he looked at my stuff and he goes, where's Poto, Oklahoma at? I thought, told him where Poto is. He goes, oh. And so passed me on through. Flew into Dallas and got to the next place. And it was, we're flying Emirates Airlines. And so when I got to the gate agent, the gate agent looks at my passport, ticket, and the name, and she says, oh, I love your name. So thank you very much. Went on through. I knew then that we were going to be okay. Because God, he had a plan, and he had things to do in Nepal, and we went and did it. God is good. How many here for the first time? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, you are good, and we're thankful. We're thankful for those that come back, and we're thankful for those that come the first time. And we give you all the glory for it, Lord, that you draw who you want here, in Jesus' name. How long has this place been? You said 45 years?
About that, yeah.
This is a house of deliverance.
Yes, it is.
That's what it was created by the living God for.
That's right.
Brother Merrill's dad was given the vision, and that's what's happened here for 45 years. And it's been through the fire, and it's been through the water. And it's still here, and God's still moving, and he's still, listen, there are places the Lord is moving. When I first, my wife and I found Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in 2004. Because we went to a ministry in Lufkin, Texas. And we'd been through some deliverance, and then this older woman told us, she said, well, I've been through some deliverances, but there's this place in Lufkin. They do it different than everywhere else. And we went to that place, and sure enough, they did, because did not only just break things, they cast demons out. And they used a little book that's over there called Breaking the Curses of Deuteronomy 27 and 28 by a man named Frank Marzullo. And when we came out of there, after they cast demons out, which we were delighted to have them gone, how many want to get some demons out? Oh, good, we came to the right place. Let God arise and the enemy be scattered.
Amen.
So when we came out of that place, that we went and they had a bookstore and we bought books. We bought that book they used and we bought a book called Handbook for the Deliverance Minister and some of those others. And when you open the page of the book up, it had a little place stamp on it from Black Hamilton Bible Camp. And I got online and we found this place and we began to come here. And we've been coming here since 2004. And every time we come, God does something for our lives. So we come even as the ministers. Every minister here that's going to minister here over this weekend will be delighted if they get deliverance. Amen?
Amen.
Every one of us. And I can tell you, every one of them, I know every one of them, and none of us care if it happens right here in front of you while we're doing what we're doing.
Amen.
Amen.
Because listen, we want to win.
Amen.
We're on the winning team.
Right.
Let's run some plays and see God get His glory.
Amen.
And every one of us know, and I promise you, listen to me, if there's ever a deliverance minister gets up and tells you I am totally 100% free, pray for them. They're going to need it. Because my Bible tells me that the one that started a good work is going to finish it. And he's going to do that work until the day of redemption. And my Bible tells me that we're going from glory to glory.
Amen.
So that means we keep going. And as long, listen to me, and if we'll keep and listen to me, this ain't a one-shot deal.
Right.
Your lives can change drastically.
Right.
This weekend, at any given service, and cumulatively. But it's not a one-shot deal. We need to live a lifestyle of deliverance.
Right.
A lifestyle. And that lifestyle is this basic premise like this. God, You're good. And I need You. And if there's anything in me that doesn't look like Jesus, I want it gone.
Yeah.
And you live that life. Everybody, and here's how I minister. Everybody does it different. But I want to have agreement with those that I minister to. Okay? Because the principle of the Word of God says one will put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000.
Yes.
So when we go to dealing with demons and even setting the table, because listen, I want to say this, you hear me. Jesus says, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist came before him, the forerunner, and said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Demons are delivered by the finger of God. It's the word of the Lord. You won't get any deliverance lest you repent. None. Doesn't happen. Oh God, forgive me. So have a heart. It's it. And so even as we go through and say, for instance, I give you words to say. The words are designed to file a case in the court. Because there's an accuser of the brethren that goes before the throne of God night and day accusing us. He's not accusing lost people. He's accusing the brethren.
That's right.
He's accusing you according to a breach. A place. A sin. Your own. Your ancestors. Some place where something has happened that transgressed the moral laws of God. That is unrepented for and unaccounted for. Doesn't have to do with heaven and hell, what I'm talking about here, if you're born again. Mm-hmm. So I want to there's a shotgun repentance. And a shotgun repentance goes, oh God, I'm a sinner, forgive me. And you know you're a mess and you need a Savior.
Amen.
And the gracious Holy Spirit has revealed Jesus to you. And through Jesus, He'll draw you to the Father, and you can be adopted into the family of God. And that can be done with that simple admonition, I am a sinner. And I need you, Lord. And then you get born again. And by the way, if you're born again, which is a prerequisite for deliverance, there's an occasional lost person gets demons taken out of them, but really that's only to give them a sane mind for a moment until they can get saved. Because if you're lost and the demons are cast out of you, you ain't keeping them out. You don't have anything to fight with. But when you get born again, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, He died for us. So we should not be a people that are sitting there practicing sin. You're capable of sinning, but you're not practicing sin. Therefore, you're not a sinner because you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Come on.
That's who you are.
Amen.
And that's the position that we're in. Mm-hmm. But we've got to repent. And freedom comes with rightful repentance. Direct repentance. Specific repentance. And even for things that you've never done, but that your ancestors might have done, you can be afflicted because of their inequities that you've inherited, and you're being afflicted. But when you take accountability for it, you're filing a case in the court of the living God through the blood of Jesus. I'm accountable. I repent for what they've done. And when we do that, we have an advocate with the Father,
yeah,
who is Jesus. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin to Him, confess our faults to Him, He's just and faithful. Forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. How many want to be cleansed?
Amen.
How many know we need a bath every day?
Yes. Amen.
Thank you, Father. All right. That was a bonus. I want to give, before we go into teaching tonight, I want to tell you there's a sheet of paper back there that kind of gives some housekeeping procedure here. How many know that God's a God of order?
Amen.
And how many know that disorder is not of God?
Right.
How many know that sometimes the problem is disorder? Mm-hmm. Even in our own lives? Mm-hmm. Amen. So every morning at 6 o'clock, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday morning, we'll have prayer. And that prayer will be for any individual that wants prayer. We'll have prayer teams up here. And I just encourage and admonish you, be there. Come. Get some help. And I'm telling you, every one of these services, every minister that ministers will be bringing the help of the Lord. And Jesus, you're coming to, no matter what vessel He uses. All right? But there's a place with their personal prayer that great things happen there too. So the Lord has keys. So come get a key. Our morning service will be at 10. Our afternoon service will be at 3. The evening service will be at 7 p.m. There will be meal times at 8 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 5 o'clock. The dormitory, if you're staying in these dorms, then only a few rules. No pets, no animals, no food, no drink other than water, if you would. And the lights go out at 10 o'clock. That doesn't mean somebody's going to open the door and shut your room light off, but just be cognizant of the other people that it's time for them, you know, anybody that wants to go to bed. Because especially if you're going to get up and be here at 6 in the morning, you might want a good night's sleep. Amen? And we're in the country here, so you get bugs if you have food in the room. So that's why nobody's trying to control anything. It's just good policy not to have to chase bugs all the time. We want bugs out in Jesus' name. Amen. Even the spiritual bugs. Everybody say, I'm all for.
I'm all for.
Running off the bugs.
Running off the bugs.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Luke 10:19 says, we've been given power over all the power of the enemy, authority over all the power of the enemy to trample on serpents, scorpions, bugs. And the Lord gave us dominion over everything that creeps, too,
right,
by the way.
Right.
So, all right. So, please come to every meeting. You don't know. Your flesh, listen, we all have flesh. Even us ministers, sometimes we have to push past flesh to become minister. And it ain't about us. It's about God.
Yeah,
sometimes you feel like things, sometimes you don't. Yeah, what is it? Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Okay. Well, listen to me. Sometimes you feel like coming, sometimes you don't. And if you're on the verge of deliverance, the enemy will do everything he can to get you hungry, tired, foot will start itching, or whatever. Whatever excuse to keep you from your breakthrough. Push. Sometimes you got to push to win. So come. Don't let him run you or even talk you into it or justify. You don't know which time is your real, real breakthrough. God is good. If you got children, you got to be responsible for them. Okay? Don't let them down by the water by themselves. But there's nobody to care for them except you, although we'll all love them and look out for them, but you've got to be the responsible party. There will be offerings received to meet the needs of this camp, and it's just asked that you don't give any personal offerings to any of the ministers, but it runs through the camp. Checkout time. Is please, if you're buying books, and I just admonish, listen to me. I can't tell you. We must have 500 books, 600, 700, 800 books, and a whole bunch of them came off this table. Because let me tell you something. Knowledge you can gain, but if you get books, and a good book will be one that does this. If it's going to change your life, some things just entertain you. That doesn't change your life. But every good spiritual book is going to be a book anchored on the Word of God that an author says, this is where we were, this is what the Word of God says, this is what we did, and this is what happened. And those kind of books can change your life, and the tables are full of them there. But listen, you can get all the knowledge you want on your own without God's help. There are people that know the Bible inside and out, front and back, and they don't know nothing. They can quote it. But life-changing things happen is when you gain knowledge, which is your part, and you say, Holy Spirit, teach me. I'm asking you. Help me to understand. Then the Spirit brings understanding. And when Holy Spirit brings understanding, then you can ask the Father for wisdom on how to walk that thing out in your life. And when those three things happen, knowledge and wisdom and understanding, the rubber meets the road and life's changed drastically.
Yeah.
So, there's help over there as well, too. And many of those people that wrote those books have ministered in this house. Some of the pioneers, let's just say. Listen, deliverance has been going on ever since Jesus came. Alright? But it kind of disappeared in the realm of the body of Christ, in most of it, for a long time. As the church organized, and the true believers and true belief was put to the side for tradition and religion. But the Lord began to work. Back in, I told you, in 2004, when I first looked this place up, you might have found three or four places on the internet where there was information about deliverance or help in places. And now there's literally hundreds. Because God wants the people set free. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, if you do buy books or you have them on hold there or something, please just take care of it before the last service. And do know there are recordings that are there to be had from previous camps, and there will be some from this one available at the end of it. And we just sometimes, listen, the Bible says the thing is established by two or three witnesses. So sometimes, how many know you can hear something and hear it again, something else came to you?
Right.
So we just encourage you to go that route, if you will. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you're a good, good Father. You are holy and you're pure and you're righteous and you're mighty. Oh, and you're kind to us, Lord, and your mercy endures forever, and your mercy's renewed every morning, tender mercies. Thank you, Lord, you don't reward us according to our iniquity, but according to your tender mercies. You daily load us with benefits. You heal all of our disease. Psalm 107:20, Lord, they cried out to you, and you sent your word, and you healed them and delivered them of all of their destructions. Lord, you're not a respecter of persons. That was talking about backslidden Israel. And every time they turn back, you forgive them. So Lord, we're turning to you. We're coming to you. You're our answer. You're our hope. You're our promise. And we give you all the glory. Lord, you're a mighty warrior. You are Yahweh. Yahweh is your name. And you're a man of war. Lord, you're a man of war, Jesus. You're the captain of the Lord's army. You're the Lord of hosts. We thank you, Lord, for your promise that the angel of the Lord encamps about the righteous. So, Lord, we've been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb, and we thank you for encamping about us in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you for the level of warriors needed. You're a holy, immortal warriors. And there's more of them than there are against us. And Lord, we thank you that whatever is needed here, however many, whatever forces that you would send to do what only you can do, that you would be glorified. Your Holy Spirit manifest. Jesus, you are manifest in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. And we thank you that the devil's works will be destroyed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting out vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of the Word of God. And we thank you, Lord, that even now strongholds are being smashed in Jesus' name. Even now there's deliverance beginning to happen in this house in the name of Jesus. Even now the truth that we know is what sets us free, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. You've given us authority over all the power of the enemy to trample on the serpents, the scorpions. No thing shall harm us. That's your promise. And then, Father, you said whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Jesus said if you want to take a strong man's house, you must first bind him. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind a strong man assigned against this camp. I bind a strong man assigned against my family, every individual family here, in the name of Jesus. I bind every deaf, dumb spirit. I bind every mind-blinding spirit. I bind all hard-hearted spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit of justification and negotiation that would justify sin in the name of Jesus. I bind rejection. I bind fear. I bind anger and hatred and murder and witchcraft and sorcery. And I bind all visualization in the name of Jesus. I bind the sorcery and the divination and anything that's been sent in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for fire from the third heaven. From the third heaven, Lord, that would burn up every web. Burn up all the nests of serpents, all the nests of scorpions. Burn up every spider nest in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for your blood that saturates us and saturates this atmosphere. And Lord, I thank you for the anointing in the name of Jesus that would destroy the yokes in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Title tonight will be Uprooting the Enemy. We're going to begin with the scripture in Jeremiah 8 through 10. The Lord's talking to this young prophet. He says, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, says the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I this day set thee over the nations, and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. That, church, is the pattern for deliverance. And by the way, you're your own prophet.
Jeremiah what?
Chapter 1, 8 through 10. I'm sorry. 1, 8 through 10. Many years ago when we were doing deliverance, and my wife, and she really did not know these scriptures, and we were doing a deliverance on somebody, and the Lord took her to that scripture and showed us that. And just stopped her, and she read that, and I knew immediately, listen, with your mouth, that's why it said, I'll speak the words, and if you speak them back, you're giving agreement. And if you don't speak them back, we don't have any agreement. It's not meeting ministry, I guess, because if you can't agree with the minister. If I say something you don't like, then meet me afterwards when we talk about it, okay? Alright? But listen to me. If you don't agree with the minister, if you don't, because see, you're really, listen, the thing is, we're submitting to Jesus.
Yes.
But if I don't have respect for the one that is ministered to, then nothing's going to happen. But when you agree, and the words that are given are going to be words that root out, pull down, and destroy. Other versions say dismantle, uproot. Okay? So the words will dismantle and uproot and tear down the legal rights of the enemy. And then we want to build and plant. And so we come back with that truth.
Right.
And so where unloved was, the truth is God loves you. You're replacing lies with the truth. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something. We all need deliverance. Mm-hmm. Casting out demons, breaking strongholds. We need healing too.
Amen.
We need we need healed of the wounds. Mm-hmm. The father wounds, the mother wounds, the sibling wounds, spouse wounds, friend wounds.
Yeah.
So if you get delivered and you don't get healed, you're still messed up. You ain't got as many demons, but if you don't get healed, they tend to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And if all you did was pray for healing, but didn't get the demons out, they're just going to rip the wounds back open.
Mm-hmm.
We need both. I'll give you a blueprint for deliverance. First of all, you got to be born again. I started off talking about repentance. Repent and be born again. Forgive everyone. Forgive yourself. Forgive God. Break all unholy judgments. So everybody, you've got unforgiveness to, you had an unholy judgment first. You charge them for it. I charge you with that. In your mind, you call them guilty. The forgiveness, which the Lord, and I'll go into that, but listen, it's like your jail for the ones you've charged with. So you've got to cancel judgments. Repent specifically for you and your ancestors for sins that defile. Break and renounce all covenants and contracts made with the enemy. Break and renounce all unholy baptisms, dedications, confirmations, and all agreement with doctrines of demons.
Amen.
Do you realize if you were baptized in a church that believes that baptism is what saved you, that you had an unholy baptism? Listen to me. How are you saved? By grace. Mm-hmm. Faith. Mm-hmm. If you think, listen, if you were sprinkled and that's what saved you, that's an unholy baptism. And there are some religious organizations that speak just like we might speak. But their Jesus isn't our Jesus. And by the way, if your Jesus' mother was a perfect woman, that's not our Jesus. Because there are none. And I'm just going to take the mystery out of it for anybody. I'm just about out talking about Catholicism. That's another Jesus. Mormonism, their Jesus is the brother to Lucifer. Our Jesus is God. You can't be God and the brother to Lucifer. Because Jesus was and is and is to come. And he was with God and he was God. He's God. You can't be an angel and be God. Even though the name is the same. Well, my name's King Rand Ritchie. But if there was another one, he lived in New York City, that ain't me. Because I live in Podo. Okay? It's that simple. So now, look, in God, we lift up all these people. We don't condemn them. We pray for their souls, but they're deceived. Could be us. We don't want to judge them as if it couldn't be us, but we need to pray for people. And if you think they're okay, they're not. So Jehovah's Witness, they believe Jesus is the Archangel Michael. That's not God. So we got another Jesus. So if you had unholy baptisms, dedications, confirmations in the wrong place, we need to cut those things. We break all unholy soul ties to people and places. Sometimes it's like you're still stuck in the place. So we can be joined to people spiritually. In this teaching, am I going to do the fullness of that? I'm just telling you. You can be joined to people spiritually. You can't get them out of your mind. What they did to you. Are you still reacting to what they did? So we need to get the demons out. We need to forgive them, but we need to break ties to them. But sometimes you got to break ties to a place. To the land. To the home where things happen. And basically what I'm doing with you tonight is I'm going over what I do if somebody sits with me. We do Skypes with people all over the world. The time we sit, we do personal deliverances. This is what we do.
Amen.
This is what we do. And we command demons and all foreign souls to go in Jesus' name. We invite the Lord to heal our heart where it's been broken. We invite the Lord to tear down any walls that stand between you and His love. You know the beautiful thing? Some of these things, you just ask God. We're asking. When I'm taking people through personal beliefs, I get them advice and I say, listen, ask the Lord and let Him reveal. Then you want to give the Lord permission to mold you and reveal to you what it really means to be His, to be His son, to be His daughter. And you've got to live holy.
Yes.
Consecrated. Be quick to repent and quick to forgive. Repent, that's me. I'm sorry. Forgive, that's somebody else. Let them go. Let yourself go. Unless you like jail. I don't like jail. I got to go twice. A long time ago. But if I ever go again, it'll be for the gospel. Thank you, Lord. And I'm not asking for it. But listen, shouldn't we all want to be, if they made being a Christian a crime, wouldn't we want enough evidence to go to jail for it?
Yes.
Yes.
You're going to have to be bold. Definition of repentance. It means a sincere turning away in both the mind and heart from self to God. It's becoming accountable to Yahweh for our actions. You know why a lot of people want to hide behind you judging me? They like their sin.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
But it'll kill you. So we're to be a people that we're not judging anybody as if we couldn't do it. Because I promise you, by the grace of God, did I not do the wicked things I used to do. And I did a lot of wicked things. By His grace, I don't do it. Not by... Hey, listen, it's been Him. Things I do good, I never would have done because I was too selfish. I wouldn't have cared. But by the grace of God, I care now. But if we just let, if the Christians today, well, we're not going to say nothing to anybody, it's their business between them and God, then we let the world go to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
And our brothers and sisters get destroyed because we're afraid of what we might look like to tell somebody you're hitting destroy. It doesn't mean we go around correcting everybody, but you need to listen to God what to do. And then there's never, never, ever an agreement that any sin is okay in your own life or anybody else's ever.
Right.
Because it's sin that destroys. To turn away from agreeing with sin in the world and coming into agreement with God.
Amen.
Greek words metanoia means a change of the mind. Change of the heart. It's recognizing that our sin is offensive to God. Our repentance, it's not even true repentance. When it's shallow, it's because we don't like what's happening. Listen, the consequences. But just changing because you don't like the consequences don't change the heart. And the truth is, if the only reason you're changing is because you don't like the consequences, you're going to end up continuing to fall back. But if the reason that you want to change is because you love your Lord so much and you're so grateful for what He did for you and what He's done and what He continues to do, then the reason that you're repentant is, Lord, I hurt the one that's done it all. Help me, Lord, to serve You. And then you begin to hate sin. I hate sin because it destroys people. I hate the author of the sin. The first rebellious one. And I hate all of those that work with him. Everybody say, I have permission.
I have permission.
To hate the devil.
Hate the devil.
Amen.
Amen.
It's okay to be angry at the devil. But don't let the sun go down on your wrath in regards to human beings. You hear? Anybody ever read that scripture? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath lest you give a place to the devil. That means a home. So some people have never repented for letting the sun go down on their wrath. Never been taught you needed to repent. So you give a place to the devil. And if you do that enough, you get a spirit of anger. Or maybe we got the so-and-so anger that comes down the bloodline with your last name attached to it. Alright? Everybody who will say, I repent.
I repent.
For letting the sun go down on my wrath.
For letting the sun go down on my wrath.
And I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
For cleansing me. For
cleansing me.
Say, Lord, I thank you.
Lord, I thank you.
For your grace.
For your grace.
That you've given.
That you've given.
To be cleansed.
To be cleansed.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Mark 1:14-15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. John 3:3-6 says, Jesus answered him and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We've got to repent and be born again. John 3:10-12. Be it known unto all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which set at naught of you the builders, which has become the head of the corner. He is the chief cornerstone. Neither is there salvation by any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby men must be saved. That's in Acts. But listen, you must be born again to use the name of Jesus as an instrument of war.
Yes.
We'll say that again. You must be born again to use the name of Jesus as an instrument of war.
Amen.
There were some men called the sons of Sceva that tried the name of Jesus.
Right.
And the demons in a man beat them up and sent them out in the street naked because they didn't have a relationship with them. The blessing of freedom comes in the name of Jesus. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, the name above all names. Repentance is needed for salvation. It needs to be a lifestyle. I spoke that to you earlier. We need to be constantly aware of the presence of God and His holiness. We're to accept His mercy and grace. With His mercy and grace is the privilege of confession. I always tell people, listen, repentance and confession is one of the greatest privileges we have. And nobody else on the face of the earth can do this. Yeah, they can repent and get saved. But once you are saved and born again and set apart, now you can take a bath, a spiritual bath, by getting rid of junk, giving it to God, confessing it to Jesus. Nobody does that but us. Oh, they're making sacrifices of one kind. Go to India, go to Nepal. They're making water sacrifices. They're burning stuff in fire. They're doing this and they're doing that for nothing. But when we say, oh Lord, Jesus, forgive me, it's accepted.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Accepted.
Yes.
If you're sincere, it's accepted. If you're not sincere, the Bible says God shall not be mocked. Whatever a man shall sow, he also shall reap. I praise God. He showed me that very early in my walk with Him. I knew it. You know, what are we going to do? Play games with one that knows everything? We're not hiding anything. We just need to be real and be His. And if you know He's for you and not against you, what do you have to lose?
That's right.
Let me tell you what you have to lose. Fear. Grief. Anger. Perversion. Go down the list. I like to lose it all. Gain Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
When we out loud confess our sins to God, we disarm the accusation of the enemy. When we have unconfessed sin in our life, we're out of agreement or fellowship with God. When we confess, the fellowship is restored. David in Psalm 51, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he'd gone into Bathsheba. Basically, Nathan came to him, this brave man of God's the prophet, because his king could have took his head off. And this prophet come in and told him a story of a parable about a man taking another man's sheep. And he was talking about David taking another man's wife. And at the end of the story, he said, what do you think we should do? And David said, well, he needs to be executed. He needs to be thrown in jail. And he goes, well, you're the man. If I was in David's position, I'd want a prophet such as that to tell me I was the man. Because here's what David said. And the first thing he said, now David's called David, took that man's wife, murdered the man, caused him to be murdered, and yet God calls him a man after his own heart. The reason I can tell you it is, look at the attitude of David. When this was revealed to him, the first thing he did was fall down and say, oh God, don't take your spirit from me. He didn't say, don't take my kingdom. And don't take my gold, and don't take my silver, and don't take my crown, and don't take my wives, and don't take da da da. No, God, don't take your spirit from me. 51:2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and I've done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, David wasn't saying his mother was fornicating. He was saying I was born into Adam. If you're born of Adam, you got a problem. Just a few short days in trouble. God's according to the Word of God. He says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me, everybody say, create in me, a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now every time, listen, when you're repeating these, you're giving him permission. You're giving him permission. It ain't about repeating with me. It's about filing your case. It's about calling on his name. It's about the one that can change things. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Let me tell you something. When you know that God has done what he does, you want to tell somebody about it. You're willing to share. You're willing to freely give what you've been freely given. O Lord, beginning with 15, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. That's the opposite of pride. And God says that he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Say, Lord, I can't even be humble. Unless you help me. So I'm asking. In Jesus' name. Amen. You got to remember, David was in covenant with God, a man of Israel, like us. We've been grafted in. And the Bible says we got a better covenant. His sin had separated him from agreement with Yahweh. The Lord is kind and he loves his children, but many of God's people are blocked from healing, deliverance by an unrepentant heart. But you don't know what they did to me. Well, she beat. That's what Jesus said. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, wherever I need it,
I'm asking you
to grant me godly sorrow that leads to repentance in Jesus' name. Then I will declare my iniquity and I will be sorry for my sins. Let me say this. The more that you ask him to help you, the more help you get. So these things that we're called to do that are really impossible for humans are not impossible for him, but he won't push past your free will. He won't push back. You're a chooser. But if you choose him, he'll give you all the help you ask for. 1 John 1:9, again, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've got to pray to the Lord and be honest, telling your sins. If necessary, your ongoing and besetting sin. You know, the one that you haven't been able to stop. There's a time it comes, you've got to confess. Listen, those besetting sins, the one you can't stop. I'm not talking about where you just... If you've got a habit of whacking people with your mouth, you got a besetting mouth. But if something just got provoked, it came out. Alright, you may need some healing there, but you are really walking as a peaceful person, at peace with all men if possible. That doesn't necessarily require confessing to another human being, but if you've got something you can't shake, if you've got something that is just the way it's always been, And listen, if you think, well, that's the way it's always been, then you're belittling the power of God. If it doesn't look like Jesus, it needs to change. And He can change it. But there comes a time, the Word of God tells us in James 5:16, that we're to confess our faults one to another to be healed. That's not just the body. Okay? Sometimes it's the soul. And sometimes the body's sick because the soul's sick. Matter of fact, most of the time. I mean, you got viruses, colds, and stuff they're chemtrailing with and all that mess, but a whole lot of diseases caused by stress, pressure, tension, sin, unforgiveness, and that's a soul problem, and this don't get fixed. Doctors will treat you with medicine, they ain't curing nothing.
Right.
They're not curing anything. They're treating symptoms, and sometimes then they treat other symptoms with more medicine and more, so we're just chasing our tails. And yet Jesus said, confess your faults one to another, and you shall be healed.
Yeah.
Turn away from the works you're doing that don't agree with God. If you're a man, you got a computer problem, don't open it in private.
Amen.
Go to McDonald's. Go to the living room. Go to the lobby of the hotel. If you're that kind of fella and you've got that kind of problem, be real. Walk away from confrontations till you get your peace. That way you don't say things you wish had never come out of your mouth. We're spirit, soul, and body. So if you're born again, the Holy Spirit is coming to reside in the Holy of Holies called the Spirit Man. You got an outer court here, which is your body. You got an inner court, which is your mind, will, and emotions. We can cast it. Listen, once you're born again, the Spirit of God's in you. Spirit of God, you agree. Your spirit man agrees with God. If you conform, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's when you get your mind in agreement with God's Word. Then when your mind's in agreement with your spirit man, with God's Word, then you can cast the demons out. And once we cast the demons out, you're going to have to take this chooser and do something different with your body.
Amen.
Amen. Walk away. Don't say it. Rebuke the enemy. Don't eat the donuts. Food ruled me for a lot of years. I always tell people, I mean, it's true. That's that food demon's a big demon. Because you got to eat. I'm not kidding. But it was it's destruction, too. So, I don't care about how it looks, but I care about how I live. And I don't want to preach the gospel from the hospital room on my back.
Right.
And the enemy's trying to kill us with food in this nation.
Yeah.
But processed food
yeah.
is bringing destruction.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I like a Krispy Kreme. Now I call my wife and say, man, they got hot donuts over at Krispy Kreme. You know, they'd be good, but I ain't going to do it. I'm going to treat it like drugs and just say, no. And I brought out the food because people is, listen, so because, you know, when you're in the world, well, you're talking about my drinking, but you're over there this big. But we're all messed up. I don't care what it is, if it's destroying you, if it's sin, if it's destroying your temple, then it's a sin against the temple of the Holy Ghost. Here's the thing. You're not going to get delivered of anything until you admit it's sin.
That's right.
So if you're operating in fear, don't belittle you for fear, anxiety, stress, all of that mess, and the pressure, and tension, we don't belittle that. Lord, it can be torment to people. But until you go to God and say, fear is not faith, and anything not of faith is sin, and you say, Father, I've been fearful and I repent, you're not going to get delivered of the sin. You're not going to get delivered of the fear. And fear will rule you because you've made it. Listen, what you obey, you're a slave to.
Right.
What you obey, you're a slave to. So if I obey God and His Word, and no matter what's going on, I'm trusting you, Lord.
Yes.
I may not understand this, but I'm trusting you. Devil, you don't have a part of it. Father, I'm trusting you. And you're responding. But listen, if you don't respond, See, there's fiery darts of fear, fiery darts of perversion, fiery darts of anger, fiery darts of hatred, fiery darts of bitterness, fiery darts of the things of this world, fiery darts of donuts, if that's the problem. But if you don't respond, they stick you. You got to respond. Mm-hmm. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? I'm going to read the fullness of this scripture. James 5:14-16. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord. Shall. That doesn't mean that. It didn't say they might be forgiven. Shall. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If your sin has harmed another person, apologize. I tell people, we tell married, listen, especially you're talking to married people, and it works in any relationship, but listen, so if you're married, divorce should not be an issue, a prerogative. It should not be an option. There are abuse cases, infidelity cases. We understand all that, but just life, there should not be an option for that. And the Bible says that the reason it's there is because of hard-heartedness. So if both parties will refuse to be hard-hearted, it'll always work out. We go to Jesus. But even if one can sometimes be the one not to get hard-hearted, it can save something until somebody else comes in line. Murder is not an option either. So there's not going to be a divorce, and there's murder is not an option. Then all that's happening when you're out of fellowship is the enemy stealing your time. So when you're walking down the halls and you don't talk to each other, time's getting short. You can't get it back. So when you're out of fellowship with people, you need to try to fix it. You do your part. Now listen, Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So there's some people you're not going to be able to be at peace with, or you can be. They might not be with you, but if you do your part, then you've done what you're supposed to. Then you pray for them. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Everybody say, Lord, forgive me,
wherever
you've had to resist me.
I repent for pride.
I need your grace. I say this, and I usually say this in every ministry I do. I'm going to say it again. If you're a right doubter, write it down. Be quick to repent and quick to forgive. And if you'll do that, you'll grow. If you do that, you grow. You grow in grace. You grow in maturity in the Lord. Anywhere you fail to repent, you're just stuck there. How much pressure you want before you're going to repent? It's the easy way or the hard way. But, you know, God gives you free will choice. You do whatever you want to do. Anything you want to do, you can do. But you're going to reap. Be quick to forgive. You can't afford to be bitter about anything. Matthew 6:12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Part of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. 6:15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you need to forgive in here, begin to do it now. Everybody just repeat me. Say, Lord,
Lord,
I ask you to show me.
I ask you to show me.
Wherever I'm still bitter.
Wherever I'm still bitter.
Wherever something has vexed me.
Anything I haven't let go.
So I can let it go. And walk away from your change.
Because of obedience.
To you.
Because you're good.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Lord always establishes things by two or three witnesses, so there's numbers and multiples of Scripture, but here's another two. Mark 11:26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. I don't know about you, but I want mine forgiven. Heaven or hell awaits that decision. Who are we? Who in the world do we think we are at times? That when he did this and he did nothing and he took the nails and he said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. He who had no sin, who are we to not extend forgiveness to somebody else? If you want to be like Jesus, that's what we have to do. And a whole part of that molding and going from glory to glory and getting delivered, we're supposed to be being made into the image of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the whole lot of that is that you know where you're at, when no matter what they do, you can say, Father, forgive them.
Amen.
They don't know what they're doing.
Amen.
And know that you have an enemy that wants to destroy you. And when it, listen, some people get off drugs, God delivers them drugs, alcohol, sexual stuff, all sorts of things. And yet, when they open the door to bitterness and they don't forgive, that door swings back open and all that other stuff will come running back in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got off drugs and alcohol and you don't behave sexually, that other stuff's coming back too. Every time. Lest you repent. There is repentance for others. Nehemiah chapter 1. You can go read it yourself. I'm not going to read it this time. But Nehemiah chapter 1, Daniel chapter 9. Both men went to God in a petition. And they did it. And it went something like this. Oh God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. My fathers were sinners. This whole nation has sinned against you. Forgive us, Lord. That's identificational repentance. Both men got their petitions answered from the living God. One, to get the money. He was going before a king, Nehemiah, to get the money to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. How many know the walls need to be rebuilt?
Yes.
Huh? How many know we need to tear down demonic walls and put up good walls?
Yes.
And the other one was Daniel, and he knew by the scriptures that his people were going to get to go back to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew the time was there because he read the word and he knew the prophet and said Jeremiah had spoken a time frame and it was time. He asked God, and when the man asked God, he does nothing on the earth as he shows the prophets first. Then it came to pass that they got to go back. Identificational repentance. That's when you're standing in for the purposes of what we're doing. When you begin to repent here a little bit, you're not only repenting for you, but your bloodline.
Amen.
And you're not getting them forgiven. That's between them and God. But you're saying, everything I did, everything they did, that doesn't line up with God's word, I'm saying, Father, forgive me.
Yes.
And I don't agree with it going forward.
Amen.
Let's talk about sins and iniquity that defile people and the lands they live in. So, book over there, Jerry's book, you can go read Leviticus, or you can read Deuteronomy 27 and 28, read every one of those things and repent for everything you see. Everything that God said, if you don't obey me, you're cursed. See, he said, if you obey me, you're blessed. If you don't obey me, you're cursed. And there's never a bad idea to go in and just read every one of those and say, I repent for this sin.
Amen.
You file your case in the court. There's also a place, and this is what I've begun to do with people, there are sins that defile a land, according to the Word of God. And every one of those sins, all of those others tie into it. Oh, and by the way, every commandment of God there is, it's a moral commandment, ties back to the 10. Every one of them. Every one of them. And all the 1,050 commandments in the New Testament tie back to the 10. And there's 1,050, by the way, unless you call them suggestions. But they all tie back to the 10. which tie back to the two that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. And Jesus said, all of the law and the prophets hang on those two. Yeah. So if you're doing those, you're going to end up doing everything else. Mm-hmm. If you're loving God with everything you have and loving your neighbor. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you can't do it except that He help you.
That's right.
There's no way. Mm-hmm. By His grace, by His love. Definition of defile is to make unclean or impure. To corrupt the purity, to debase, to violate the chastity of, to deflower, to make physically unclean, especially with something unpleasant or contaminated. To violate the sanctity of, to desecrate, to sully, to dishonor. Talk about idolatry. The worship of a physical object is God. The Lord says, bring no cursed object into your homes. Bring no cursed object before me, lest you become like it.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.